Welcome to Season 5 of the Fashion Law Network podcast. I'm your host, Kasia Zabrowska-Traubin, patent attorney and fashion enthusiast based in Los Angeles, California. Join me as I break down legal cases, discuss recent fashion news, and demystify patent law. Hello, and welcome to Episode 7, Season 5 of the Fashion Law Network podcast. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. And just a quick special thank you to all the podcast followers who attended our Fashion Law Network podcast event last week. It was amazing to meet everyone, and I can't believe how far some listeners drove to make it to the event. Really appreciate the effort. We had such a fun evening, just meeting, catching up, and talking fashion. And due to the success of the event, we're going to continue to host it every quarter. So stay tuned for the next date, and I can't wait already. So I have a great episode for you guys today. It's all about parodies in the context of fashion law. You may have heard the news of a major trademark infringement lawsuit going on, which made it all the way to the Supreme Court. It's the case of Jack Daniel's versus Bad Spaniels. And there was another parody situation. It's not a lawsuit, but it's very interesting nonetheless, involving one of these bag-on-bag issues. A Toronto-based designer, Silk Lorena, was selling these canvas tote grocery bags with a print of a Hermes Birkin bag on one side. And according to HiSnobiety.com, 2 weeks ago, his Instagram page was suddenly taken down and his Shopify was shuttered without any explanation. So we'll get into the details of both of those cases after I give some background information on trademark law and the parody defense to a trademark infringement lawsuit. And I'll go over some previous landmark parody lawsuits that are really interesting involving Louis Vuitton. So now let's get into these Louis Vuitton lawsuits related to trademark parodies. A trademark parody involves the appropriation of another's mark as well as a known element of pop culture, then building on it to contribute something new for humorous effect or social commentary. So a parody is a defense to trademark infringement. The theory is that there won't be any likelihood of consumer confusion because the parody won't be taken seriously. So it's really important that the parody invokes the original, but at the same time, it has to be clear that it's not the original, not connected with the original, basically just a funny spoof on the original. It has to be pretty exaggerated, distorted from the original. And if this step is not taken, then there may be an infringement. So this is kind of a fine line sometimes, and the courts give us some guidance on this. Louis Vuitton is pretty notorious for going after these companies which attempt to make a parody of the Louis Vuitton trademark name or design. So first I'll go over a Hallmark parody defense trademark case that Louis Vuitton filed about 15 years ago against a dog toy company, which the dog toy company won. So they were able to prove that their parody was a defense to the trademark infringement claim. So this case is important because it provides a pretty detailed analysis of the parody defense to trademark infringement claims. And after this dog toy case, I'll go over two more recent trademark parody lawsuits that Louis Vuitton has initiated. One against a bag company, and the other very recent one against a toy manufacturer to deal with that Louis Vuitton toy that they're trying to sell. So this Hallmark dog toy trademark parody case is titled Louis Vuitton versus Haute, H-A-U-T-E, Diggity Dog LLC. And I'll leave the link to the lawsuit in the notes to this episode in case anyone wants to read it in more detail. So Haute Diggity Dog LLC was a US-based company, and they sold lots of parody pet products. Some were named Chewnell No. 5 instead of Chanel, Jimmy Choo, C-H-E-W instead of C-H-O-O, and then Dog Perignon instead of Dom Perignon.
So the product that was the subject of this Louis Vuitton lawsuit was a parody pet toy titled Chewy Vuitton. So Chewy, C-H-E-W-Y, and then Vuitton was only spelled with one T, V-U-I-T-O-N. The toy mimicked the shape, design, and color of a Louis handbag, and it was intended as a chew toy for dogs. Louis Vuitton did not find any humor in this toy, and they filed a lawsuit against the company, alleging trademark infringement of the Louis Vuitton mark. So here, the court had to determine whether or not Chewy Vuitton was a trademark parody. And if it was, then as I stated before, that is a defense to trademark infringement. So trademark parody has to invoke the original, but it has to be clear it's a spoof of the original. So you really have to communicate that necessary element of satire, ridicule, joking, or amusement. So the court found that Oh Diggity Dog's use of Chewy Vuitton was in fact a parody. The Chewy Vuitton toy was found to be similar in the name, design, coloring, which let people know that the toy was an imitation. The court also said that the elements were a little different. For example, the name Chewy is not Louis. And then the last name, the Vuitton, was spelled with just the one T versus two, like in the original. So all these elements were close, but not identical to the authentic Louis Vuitton items. Furthermore, the court found that the parody was sufficiently blatant so as to easily invoke the famous Louis Vuitton trademark, but it was still different enough to distinguish the product. So another favor here for the Diggity Dog Company was that the chew toy was $20, while the original Louis Vuitton was an expensive designer handbag worth upwards of $1,000. So then the court went on to discuss the similarities of advertising channels, and they found that they were very different. Oh Diggity Dog's products were sold at pet stores, pet suppliers, and Louis Vuitton bags were mostly sold in Louis Vuitton boutiques or department stores. So based on all these factors, the court found that Oh Diggity Dog did not infringe upon Louis Vuitton's trademark. Now let's discuss another more recent trademark parody case. This one is titled Louis Vuitton versus My Other Bag. This was a really long ongoing four-year battle of a case which started around 2015. The defendant, My Other Bag, is a California-based company, and they sell these $30 parody canvas bags. These tote shopping bags are made of plain beige canvas, and on one side, they say in writing, My Other Bag is a, and then you'd flip it over, and there's a drawing of, for example, a Louis Vuitton tote bag. But this company does this with lots of various iconic expensive designer bags, not just Louis Vuitton, like Balenciaga and Chanel. Louis Vuitton, again, did not find any humor in these bags, and they filed a lawsuit against the My Other Bag company, claiming that My Other Bag designs not only infringe its registered trademarks and copyrights, but also that My Other Bag is diluting its famous trademarks, as well as a few other claims, including false designation of origin and unfair competition. But I'm only going to focus my legal analysis on the trademark claims here. So here's just a brief case history. The case was initially filed in New York in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York. And that court held that the bags were parodies and are thus shielded from legal liability. Louis Vuitton appealed that decision, and the Second Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed the original decision, finding that it is in fact a parody. So basically, Louis Vuitton was trying to argue that in order to have a successful parody, the parody must be specific to its brand and not about luxury consumption in general. Louis Vuitton argued that My Other Bag was not specific enough to Louis Vuitton, and that they were making a more general commentary about luxury brands, since My Other Bag had canvas bags depicting lots of different designer bag drawings on their bags, not just Louis Vuitton. The court did not agree with that argument, and the Second Circuit explained that a parody must convey two simultaneous and contradictory messages, that it is the original, but also that it's not the original and is instead a parody. My Other bags do just that. At the same time, they mimic Louis Vuitton's designs in a way that is recognizable, and they do so as a drawing on a product that is such a conscious departure from Louis Vuitton's image of luxury in combination with their slogan, which is My Other Bag, as to convey the image that the tote bags by My Other Bag are not Louis Vuitton handbags. Now, this case differs a little bit from the previous dog toy case in that the parody here is perhaps not as obvious or blatant. A canvas bag is not as much of a departure from the original as the rubber dog chew toy. And the court took this into account, and they added that the fact that the joke on Louis Vuitton's luxury image is gentle and maybe even complimentary to Louis Vuitton does not preclude it from being a parody. Furthermore, Louis Vuitton's counsel was reportedly laughed at by the court, and they were told, "This is a joke. I understand you don't get the joke, but it's a joke." So Louis Vuitton, obviously not happy with this outcome, they sought Supreme Court review of the case. They argued that the Court of Appeals decision would cause widespread dilution through the production of imitation products because they would just be able to be marketed under this guise of parody. Unfortunately for Louis Vuitton, the Supreme Court denied the review. Now let's move on and discuss another very recent trademark parody case involving Louis Vuitton. As I like to call it, the Pooey Vuitton case. So this case centers on a slime-filled poop-shaped toy purse. The little toy purse has a somewhat similar pattern to the Louis Vuitton logo. The background is white and the monogram pattern is pastel, and there's two big cartoon eyes at the top with handles. So it kind of looks like a white poop emoji made to resemble a purse. The toy is made by the California-based company MGA Entertainment, and this company is the maker of the famous Bratz dolls and the LOL surprise toys for kids. The legal battle between Louis Vuitton and MGA began back in December of 2018 when Louis Vuitton requested and received a seizure order from the High Court of Paris, which is called the Tribunal de Grande Instance, the TGI, when they discovered these Pooey Vuitton products for sale. Now, once Louis Vuitton had the order from the TGI Court of Paris, they seized a few Pooey Vuitton products from wholesale customers of MGA Entertainment in Europe, and then they proceeded to file the formal lawsuit against MGA in France. The lawsuit asserted claims based on MGA's use of similar patterns for the toy, which Louis Vuitton, of course, has trademark and copyright registrations for. Louis Vuitton alleged that MGA has undoubtedly damaged the distinctive character and reputation attached to its valuable trademarks. Based on this, MGA then files a declaratory judgment on December 28, 2018, in the United States District Court for the Central District of California to preemptively declare that the Pooey product is not infringing Louis Vuitton's domestic trademark rights. They filed what is called a declaratory judgment. So MGA was seeking a declaration that both the Pooey Vuitton and the associated toy product with which it is used do not infringe upon or dilute any of the trademarks or intellectual property rights of defendant Louis Vuitton, and that its protected use and or is a protected parody. Now, a declaratory judgment is a litigation tool that parties can use to try to preemptively get ahead of a legal issue that they foresee as being a problem. And it has to be like a real legitimate problem, not just a hypothetical. So in this instance, MGA knew of Louis Vuitton's history in pursuing these trademark parody cases and the outcomes of those cases. And MGA could have waited to see if Louis Vuitton would file a lawsuit against them in the US and then let the claims play out that way. But by filing the declaratory judgment, it does show that MGA was trying to probably prevent Louis Vuitton from filing these trademark and copyright infringement claims against them in the US. And they were trying to force Louis Vuitton to litigate this suit in the United States because Louis Vuitton has had a few of these losing parody trademark cases here in the US court system, for example, the two previous ones that we just discussed. So in the complaint seeking a declaratory judgment that MGA filed, they state that no reasonable consumer would mistake Puy Puitan, which retails for $59, for costly or Louis Vuitton handbags. They also state in their complaint that the use of the Puy name and the Puy product in association with their line of magical unicorn poop is intended to criticize or comment on the rich and famous, the Louis Vuitton name, the Louis Vuitton marks, and on their conspicuous consumption. Furthermore, MGA's complaint states that Louis Vuitton has a history of not respecting parody rights in the United States and filing vexatious lawsuits against such protected parodies. Louis Vuitton responded to MGA's complaint by stating that they never threatened to sue them in the US, and they said that MGA makes a bold claim that by filing an action in France alleging violations of its European Union trademarks, that Louis Vuitton has somehow asserted claims against MGA in the US related to their US trademarks. So the judge in this case sided with Louis Vuitton. The judge concluded that MGA's case did not belong in federal court because the company didn't show there was any actual controversy between the parties, which is a necessary requirement for a declaratory judgment. The judge rejected MGA's claim that Louis Vuitton's recent filing in France of a trademark infringement case illustrated the French company's history of not respecting parody rights. And he said that the court need look only to the facts that Louis Vuitton has not sued MGA based on its trademark rights here in the United States. Now, typically, French courts are far less willing and generous when it comes to entertaining a parody exception to the trademark infringement claim, unlike the US courts, especially when it's in connection with the unauthorized use of a famous trademark, which is the case here, of course. And in Europe, the law almost always favors the famous rights holders. So in order to establish trademark infringement in Europe, the trademark holder only has to show that the alleged parody establishes a, quote, link with a well-known trademark, and that the link rides or tarnishes the reputation of this famous mark. So that's another powerful reason why MGA would want the trademark lawsuit to play out here in the United States court system, where the parody threshold is not as high. So that concludes the legal case synopsis for this episode. And now stay tuned for a short interview that I conducted over the phone with Karina, a former Louis Vuitton sales associate. And she gives us some more intel into the brand. So here we go with the interview.
So now let's discuss this new bag on bag situation. This is, of course, very similar to that Louis Vuitton versus My Other Bag lawsuit, which I just discussed. So for over 10 years, Toronto-based designer Silk Lauren has been tinkering with fashion and building a cult following, according to highsnobiety.com, but it wasn't until his debut in 2022 of what he calls the Silk Grocery Bags that things really exploded for him. He provides a quote in this article that says that his grocery bags are ironic. They represent stuff I like Clips's grindin' video, Silk says, referencing one of his early hit designs. Then he goes on to quote, "That's why there's no branding on the bag. I want people to see them on the street and get into them because they look cool. I want the concept to go beyond the brand." So in looking at a picture of one of these bags that Silk is designing, it's basically like a canvas tote with a print of a Hermes Birkin bag on the front. It has quite a realistic view to it. It's almost like a photography print, it almost looks like to me. And now this situation is even more interesting because, according to HiSnobiety.com, Silk asserts that he never even received a cease and desist letter and was never contacted by any brand representatives before his social media accounts vanished. He is quoted as saying, "They had Instagram just take down our account and Shopify sent me a letter." And it looks like his Shopify account was also shut down. It seems like the designer had been losing his social media presence that he had built over 8 years. And according to the article in HiSnobiety.com, it does not look like he's backing down because he asserts that he will be doing another bag launch in April of 2023. So I think it'll be interesting to see what the response is after that bag launch. I'll have that on my radar. And then, of course, the other trademark infringement lawsuit going on, making major, major headlines, is the Jack Daniel's versus Bad Spaniel's case. And I even heard about this one on the mainstream radio on this local news radio channel that I listen to in my car sometimes. So this case is quite similar to the Louis Vuitton versus Chewy Vuitton case, wherein a dog toy company is allegedly parodying a product in the format of dog toys. So in this case, it's Jack Daniel's, the whiskey manufacturer. So Jack Daniel's is suing VIP Products LLC. And according to theweek.com, VIP Products LLC are the second largest maker of dog toys in the whole country. They're based out of Arizona. And the lawsuit is involving a squeaky toy sold by VIP Products that is a direct parody of a Jack Daniel's whiskey bottle. The toy is shaped and colored like a Jack Daniel's bottle, but features a picture of a dog and the words "Back Bad Spaniels" instead of Jack Daniel's. The toy has also replaced the actual Jack Daniel's 40% alcohol by volume wording with 43% poo by volume, 100% smelly. So this part kind of reminds me of that Louis Vuitton versus Puy Vuitton case. It's a mix of that one and the Chewy Vuitton case. So theweek.com goes on to state that the toy is part of VIP's Silly Squeakers line, and they parody common beverages as dog toys. They also include other toys that are clear parodies of alcohol bottles like beer brands, tequila, vodka, and gin. And the main question in this lawsuit is whether VIP should be held responsible for, quote, potentially misleading customers into associating the product with the whiskey maker or tarnishing the company's famous trademark. So according to theweek.com, the attorneys for Jack Daniel's argue that VIP's toy is detrimental to the whiskey brand, and they allege that, and this is a direct quote, they are selling products mimicking Jack Daniel's iconic marks and trade dress that mislead consumers, profit from Jack Daniel's hard-earned goodwill, and associate Jack Daniel's whiskey with excrement. I guess the main difference in this case and those other parody cases involving Louis Vuitton is that this is a parody of a consumable product, not just a fashion accessory. So I would think that that being compared to excrement is obviously different than just a bag in the shape of that. Now, again, according to theweek.com, VIP says that the opposite of true, and they write in their own briefing that, quote, freedom of speech begins with freedom to mock. The company insists that they are not violating any laws because Bad Spaniels is not its product. The dog toy itself is. And this is another quote. VIP uses a pretend trademark and pretend trade on a pretend label on a pretend bottle full of pretend contact. So obviously they're really trying to nail that parody here. So now this case is before the Supreme Court, and the oral arguments were held on March 22nd. There's a transcript of those if anybody wants to read them. They're very interesting and funny. And before that, the district court held for the Jack Daniel's company. Then the case went on to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and that court held for the dog toy company, and they concluded that VIP used Jack Daniel's trade dress and bottle design to sell bad spaniels, and it also had an inherent right to convey humor through the spoof. So keep an eye on this case. I definitely will, as only time will tell if this will change the landscape of trademark parody law. And that concludes this episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day, and I can't wait to see everyone at our next event.